This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Andrew Brandt. Andrew is Director of Trade Policy, U.S. Grains Council. Great to see you.
Good to see you again, Tony. Always a pleasure.
Okay. We've talked about your background getting here. You spent some time on the Hill, though, which really gave you a really close look at what happens in, I think somebody described as making the sausage, right?
Yes. So I've been in D.C. quite a few years now. Left Missouri as a farm boy back in 06 and showed up here working for originally Senator Talent, who was a Republican senator from Missouri. He lost and I had to find a new job, but I kind of bounced around with USDA briefly at the Crop Insurance Agency. Then spent about 5 years for a congressman you're familiar with, Mr. Dogabauer, before transitioning then to Senator Grassley from Iowa. So I spent about 14 years total on Capitol Hill. Got to see several farm bills be written, some trade legislation later on. It's a fascinating process how it works.
Well, and again, I love the analogy. It's like watching sausage get made. It's not always a pretty picture, but at the end, it's pretty good. And when it comes to trade policy in general, it's kind of the same way, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's about the same way for any piece of legislation in Congress. You know, you've got 535 members. They've all got an opinion. They've all got an ask or a want. I would be lying if I said I didn't get frustrated by leadership staff and some of the decisions they made for the final bills, but someone has to do that, and at the end of the day, you have to take those 535 members and get them to vote with majority in both chambers on a piece of legislation. So, yeah, it's complicated, and it's not always pretty, but it's what we have.
Well, we did see that in a previous Congress with the renewal, if you will, of NAFTA, USMCA agreement, and with that, a couple of partners, Canada and Mexico, but things don't always go real smooth, do they?
No. The USMCA was actually, it ended up getting pretty good vote totals in both houses, and in the end, it was kind of dicey getting there, but ultimately it passed, I believe, off the top of my head, I think it was around 90 votes in the Senate, which is very good for a piece of trade legislation of any kind, whether that's an agreement, trade promotion authority. 90 votes is a high watermark. But yeah, now that it's been implemented, we're now working with the countries. USMCA famously has its own kind of rapid response dispute mechanism that is designed to be a lot faster than, say, the WTO process. And as we have move down the road, every country I think has filed their own now. There have been a couple disagreements that are working their way through that process.
For the grains industry, Mexico and a ban on GMO corn, has it affected yellow corn at this point, or are we still dealing with white corn, and what's the implications?
So, biotech corn, Mexico did implement a biotech ban. The U.S. Trade Representative has challenged that through the dispute mechanism. That process is currently playing out, likely in sometime later this year. Hopefully we get final resolution. Hopefully the United States will prevail, but we don't want to count our chickens before they hatch, to use a farm term. As far as how that's impacted the trade, Mexico, you know, has been our number one trading partner on corn. I think 9 out of the last 10 years, it was just 1 year China jumped above them. I believe that was 2021 when they were kind of coming out of the pandemic. China had just an off-the-charts year and jumped in front of Mexico. But for the most part, Mexico is our number one market for corn, specifically yellow and white. To date, Mexico continues to buy a lot of yellow corn, even with this decree and dispute over biotech corn. The white corn, though, has dropped off a little. I haven't looked at the numbers in the last week, but we have seen a reduction in white corn purchasing. And they, you know, to give a little more background for your viewers who aren't, or listeners who aren't maybe tracking this day-to-day like I do, the original decree banned all biotech corn imports. Then they did a update to it in February of 2023 where they said grain destined for feed use, their livestock sector, could still be imported if that was biotech, but biotech white corn would still be subject to a hard all-out ban for importation for human consumption. So, you know, the lawyers can go round and round on those definitions of import for human consumption. Well, that didn't officially ban everything, but I think the intent is fairly clear from the Mexican government. They don't want white corn that has biotechnology traits in it. Obviously, the United States government, U.S. grain scales and corn growers, we object to that. We know biotechnology is safe. I've never seen anyone document a health problem related to a biotech crop. So that is what this dispute is mainly over. And hopefully we will be later this year find out we have won. But until that final decision is made and that panel report comes out, we can only kind of speculate and be hopeful.
But much like the U.S., we have changes in the makeup of Congress and the White House, and there's a change coming in Mexico. If I understand correctly, the president has termed out?
Yeah, I believe Mexico rules are you get 1 6-year term. And so this is his last year. I believe the election will be in July, and then it's, let's say, like September 1st or October 1st, the new president will be installed. It is expected, based on polling and people who are experts on Mexican politics, that it will be a woman in the same party as current president, President AMLO. So there will be a change in the person, but the party is expected to stay the same. What that exactly means for this policy, I think a lot of us want to be hopeful, but really we just don't know until the next president gets into office and starts to make their own, find their own way with how they're going to handle things. Hopefully they will be confronted with our win under the USMCA process for this biotech case, and then we'll see how they respond to that.
Does it really underscore the importance of your role with the U.S. Grains Council? Because just keeping up with all of the parts that are moving on this, that's got to be a full-time position.
It is really complicated. So we have an office in Mexico City, Mexico, as I said before, being our number one market year in, year out. We have an office there with staffers who are working with industry on just the promotion of corn, but then also they are also tracking what's going on with the government. And I don't have time to track that in every country, but because I have a coworker in Mexico City, we talk a lot to stay informed. The Grains Council, this is a great example of us partnering the corn growers on, understanding what's going on in Mexico, being able to try and, understand not only what you see in the press, what you read in the regulation, but also the meetings, our staff can get with their government offices down there to try and get more insights into what, how serious it is. Are they really, all in on this regulation? And certainly we, over the last 2 years, have learned that President AMLO is pretty much all in on this regulation to try and ban biotech corn. So those are all helpful things where we're gathering information and working with our government to try and come up with a positive resolution here that we don't stymie biotechnology in food.
So good to see you. I know there's a lot going on, but thanks for taking a few minutes to visit with us. Wish you the best.
Anytime. Wish you the best, too, and hope everyone in West Texas has a great year farming.
Andrew Brand is Director of Trade Policy with the U.S. Grains Council from Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.